So thank you very much, Asia, for talking to me today. You're a director of Empowered Women in Trades, but trades aren't your background particularly, but so why did you choose this particular area to work in?
Well, I've got a long family history in trades. I'm from a fifth generation plumbing family, and my own strong unconscious bias led me off to university and accounting, and I never even considered trades as a career pathway until a lot later in my life when my dad gave me an opportunity to work in our family factory floor, and I absolutely fell in love with welding. And I thought, wow, so if a woman like myself with all of this access to trades, a family history in trades, had such a strong unconscious bias that it wasn't a role for me, what it would not cross the minds of women that don't have that kind of connection to the trade-based industry.
Setting up Empowered Women in Trades, you're actually proselytising. You've got the research. There's been quite a lot of research into the numbers, how women have been turned off trades. Mm. And it's actually fallen since 2016 to the present. Can you talk to us, what are the reasons for why that even the amount, that small amount that have been lured to trades have been moving away from it?
Has a lot to do with culture shifts that needs to happen. There's some basic elements like toilet facilities on site for a lot of the women, because the culture issue, I believe, is not just connected to the low female representation but the high levels of mental well-being among the male demographic in there. So the culture needs to shift for both men and women in the industries.
Yeah, well, it's interesting you should say that about the female toilets, because I know that the CFMEU actually were taken to court over an issue in Victoria over female toilets. They were seen to be harassing the workplace when, in actual fact, what they were saying was that they needed to provide female toilets, and it went to court.
Yeah, exactly. It went all the way to the High Court, and that was a good fight for them to have, because pre having a female toilet or a second toilet that she could use, people would have to stand, trusted people would have to stand in front of the toilet while she used it to keep her safe.
Yeah, so there is a long way to go, but as you've pointed out, it's very low numbers, 3% for women in trades. But in actual fact, you're making a connection between increases in women's full-time earnings if they were to go into trades, and an 11% boost in the economic growth over the next decade, which is an interesting correlation, eh?
It is an interesting correlation. And as much as there is terrible stories out there, what we do is to work hard to find employers that value women, that already have started the culture change and cultural education, have support networks in place for women within their organisation, and they're in an environment where they can thrive, and the company wants these women to thrive and even come up and mentor them into leadership roles, et cetera, et cetera. So although there is a lot of bad press out there, there is pockets of absolutely fantastic employers that really want to nurture the women into successful long-term careers.
Well, it's not just for women apprentices. It's actually the apprenticeship system at the moment needs more regulation.
Yes, exactly. So if we look at the dropout rate, there's a high dropout rate, and that's for both men and women. And part of that, again, is linking back to the cultural change. Younger men don't want to put up with the bullying and the harassment that they often get at either TAFE or on their employer site. And we can see that in the mental well-being stats and the dropout rates. So the culture shift in the industry has to happen, not just for the women, but also for the next generation of younger men that are coming through.
Oh, and also the thing is, the ideal with apprenticeships is that, you know, they get paid. I mean, it may not be the full rate, but they get paid, and they're being looked out for by a skilled older worker, and they gain the skills to be able to then be a qualified person themselves. And so some of the people have been concerned that they're not actually getting the skills, they're being used as dog bodies.
Yes, exactly. And that's coming back to the vetting of employers, and my advice to anyone that wants to go into trades, male or female, is to really vet that employer and see what their intentions truly are. Are they interested in investing time in you to teach you your skill set, or are they just trying to find cheap labour to clean up the factory floor?
Now, let's go back to girls. I was speaking to a person who's working on the same project effectively, but for the AMWU, and they've just recently had an expo out in Broadmeadows, and they're working on the same sort of issues. But she said something really interesting. She said that the research shows that by grade five, girls have already decided trades aren't for them.
Yes, and that's why we've started at the moment some programs that start in year seven to try and change that mindset, and our intentions try to get programs into primary school because of that exact mindset. And that comes a lot from what they're seeing as they're young. There's Bob the Builder, not Brittany the Builder. A lot of the information they're still receiving at younger ages is very gender biased off the roles that we're meant to play in society. Here we're really focusing on the high schools, so year 7s, 8s and 9s, to try and encourage them to think about school-based apprenticeships, which is a great way for them to stay in school and learn some English and maths and all that kind of stuff and have the socialisation, but also get to experience the trades and be with an employer one day a week and at TAFE one day a week. And then once we've established in the secondary schools, I really want to move into primary schools and bring in some fun activities that's safe for the primary school students and tailored to the age group, but to really try and shift that bias that comes in strong at a very young age. Trades is not a mindless career path. You have to be very intelligent, but you also love doing stuff with your hands.
Well, it's a problem-solving job. I mean, you don't want to have a bad plumber.
No, you don't want to have a bad plumber. You definitely don't want to have an electrician that's not good at maths. So.
Yeah, exactly. And so you've got an online portal where people can actually get a taster, I presume?
Yeah, exactly. And that's a lot there also for the parents. So if the kids are coming home excited about their plumbing experience or electrical experience, there's some information on there about what an apprenticeship is. There's information there about some of the trades and interviews with tradeswomen as well, of why they love their trade, why they went into it, etc., etc. So that's a great resource for the parents if their child comes home excited about trades, for them to get a bit of an understanding, because if they are from non-trade backgrounds, it's an unknown world for the parents and could be quite unsettling for them not knowing what to do or how to have the conversations about going into trades.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because I've got a niece and my family is far more sort of focused on intellectual pursuits, but she's now a very accomplished furniture upholsterer. And I can say that she has just gone from strength to strength.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And then that's the thing, if you have that skill set and that desire to use your hands, you will thrive in these industries.